Good morning, everyone. Lively bunch again. How are you? That's good. Nearly the end of the year. It's kind of interesting seeing everybody's energy kind of going down. So stick with me. Jonah chapter 3, I want to have a look at today. When I was about, one of my earliest memories was when I was about 3, and you'll understand why I can think back that far in a second because of what happened in the actual event. It was in the middle of summer, it was a beautiful day, and I remember playing outside in the backyard, and I remember my dad had a brand new, beautiful, brand new Honda road bike, just really, really sweet. Brand, he was very proud of it, and it was pretty cool. So, I mean, this is in the kind of the medieval ages, obviously, like the early 70s. So, big hair and big pants and big bikes. And so he was polishing. I remember he was polishing the bike. He was very proud of it. And then when he finished polishing, he decided he was also doing some painting of the back of the house on the wooden frames. And it was an oil-based paint because that's what you do on the outside of the house rather than the water-soluble paint. And there's a reason I'm telling you that, which you'll find out in a second. So he's painting the back of his house. And then, as I've told you before, he was a policeman, so we would often get phone calls, and he would be called into the house, and he would take the call. So the phone went, and he went in the house, and so I was left outside with a beautiful brand new Honda road bike and a big pot of paint. Awesome. So what do you do? You know, you just think, well, I'm going to be creative, and got the paint, painted his bike, completely covered it in oil-based paint. Okay, so you can't just spray this thing down. It's actually going to have to be kind of cleaned with special spirits, and so paint his bike, and he'd left his helmet and gloves by the side of the bike too, painted that, kind of, you know, nice, beautiful. Then proceeded to go to the back of the house where he'd left his shoes by the back door and painted them as well, just to finish the job, and sat there probably in a pool of white paint, pretty pleased with myself, and dad comes back out, and he's just like, oh, that's so beautiful. You're so gifted and talented, and I just love you so much. Come and give me a big hug. No, not so much. This is the bit I remember. I don't actually remember painting the bike. My mum tells me what I did, but the bit I remember is my dad kind of, yeah, doing what dads often do best, tanning my backside. And I remember that bit really well. My dad gave me another chance, though. He kind of let me back out of the house because I'm here and I'm talking to you. He didn't take his full wrath out upon me. And I remember the place we lived, I remember going back out. He gave me a second chance, and he probably gave me a third chance later on in life, and fourth and fifth and sixth. And I remember all the way through my school career, him giving me chances to live. Because if I look back and think about some of the dumb things and the suspensions and everything else that I kind of lived through, and going home and giving him the letter, expecting certain death, and just chance after chance after chance, he still loved me. He still, you know, we have a great relationship. It's good. Jonah chapter 3 starts off very similar. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, this great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. See, Jonah had the word of the Lord come to him a second time. A second time. See, God told him at the beginning of the chapter of 1, he said, look, this is what I want you to do. This is the deal. This is my commandment for you. And Jonah legs it. And then he gets involved in the storm. We've talked about that. And we talked about how he responded to the storm. So now God comes to Jonah a second time. He says, go, arise, go to Nineveh and tell him this message. And Jonah listens. And it's interesting because I think about my life spiritually, and I think about the times that I spent running so hard from God, trying to make it, that just trying to get away from Him. The chances that God gave me, the times that He came after me, the times that He made it tough, that I just, He would give me little messages and just little things people would say, and it was like being continually beaten up spiritually, if you like, by God. But to be honest, it wasn't second chance, it was third chance, fourth chance, 60th chance, 120th, 200th. The times that God came to me and spoke to me and I just ignored it. Or, after I actually became a Christian, the times when I would get involved in stuff that I knew that I shouldn't be involved in and came back to Him and asked for forgiveness and repented and felt bad and felt guilty and felt that forgiveness and it was good for a couple of weeks and then I went straight back to the same addictions, the same ridiculous stuff and the chances, the love, the mercy, the grace that He showed me all the time. Guys, we have this one thing in common. The thing that we have in common is this desire that is inside of us. And I don't know where you're at, but we have this kind of thing that we want to try and control everything. And we want to try and keep life in our own grips. And there's some of you I know who are trying so hard, you're just resisting really hard and you're thinking it's all going to be okay. I'm going to show you a video in a second. Some of you have seen it. One of you actually sent it to me, so thanks for that. It fits really well with what I need to say. You're going to see a guy whose life, he had everything in life. He had the money, he had the girls, he had the houses, the cars, he had the fans. He had everything that the world would say is the ultimate. And yet he says some really interesting things about how he recognizes it started to control him. And some of you have seen the video. It's an incredible testimony. But I want you to think, you might watch this and go, man, I'm not all tatted up like that guy. I haven't got hair like that guy. I'm not as scary looking as that guy. I've got nothing in common with that guy. And I'm saying, no, not so much. We all have one thing in common. And that's this sin nature, this thing that needs to be dealt with. And then God slams into his life and changes him. And he's just had so many chances, so many chances. How many chances? What chance are you at? What stage are you at where God's speaking to you and you're still like, no, I'm going to keep running and I'm going to keep in control. So are we good with that video, guys? Okay. It's the guitarist from Korn, Brian Welch. So it's quite the story. I don't know where you're at, guys. I really don't. But what I do know is that some of you are watching that. I know that some of you are watching that, and deep down inside, you're thinking, that's where I'm going to end up. That's where I'm going to end up. I'm drinking, blazing every now and again. It's going to get worse when I leave school, hit the summer. But you know what? I can control it. It's all going to be good. But then life has this ability to get a grip around your throat, and it starts controlling you. And there's a guy who says he has everything, and yet, by his own testimony, he had nothing. And maybe you're watching that and you're going, yeah, okay, honestly, I'm not interested in the drugs, I'm not interested in drinking, I live a pretty good life and everything else. But same, life will take control of you. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be the hard stuff as you watch here. It just might be those feelings or those emotions that you're feeling that kind of control you. And God had this... God used his real estate broker to give him a verse. He didn't, you know, and all he says is it just gripped him and he chewed on it and he thought about it. And this is God giving him that chance. Guys, what chance are you on? I mean, some of you have been a Christian straight out of the womb. It's like, to the cross, you know, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then it's like, you've lived this life and you're just in this, and you just know there's more. And you're thinking, okay, I know that there's more to it than this, and maybe you became a Christian at a camp or whatever it might be, but now it's just faint, and it's like God giving chances after chance after chance, and he's giving you instructions, because like in Jonah chapter 3, he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. He'd given Jonah this commandment, he'd given him the instructions as to what he needed to do, and Jonah ran from it. God gives him a second chance. Are you running, guys? Because here's the commandment. Here's the commandment. If you truly want the life that you were created for, You recognize that there's sin in your life. You recognize that the sin is gripping you. You recognize that your friends have got a control over you, that you can't get through a weekend without blazing or drinking or whatever it might be. You can't switch the computer on without going to the porn. You're obsessing over Facebook because you want to know what everybody thinks about you, and you're caught and you're gripped. I tell you what, guys, it doesn't get any easier. For those of you who think, well, when I get married or when I get to university, what does is everything you're going through right now gets magnified. When you get married, all the issues that you had before marriage get magnified. Trust me, I know. Things do not get any better. You cannot keep control. You are going to get sucked down. You are going to spiral, and some of you know it. And some of you are desperately trying hard. You're thinking, okay, here's my plan. This is what I'm going to do. But deep down inside, you know that it's empty. So here's your chance. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Because you've got a commandment to rise, go. You see, the words that Jonah were given from God, that word go is in the Hebrew. It's go now. Go immediately. Don't hang around. What are you waiting for? Let's go. Get up and go. Well, I'll just wait for a bit. All right, I'm waiting for God to reveal himself. God is revealing himself to you every breath you take, because you know that you know that you know that even if you're fighting against what I'm saying, you know that there's truth in what I'm saying. And I could show you all the evidence and everything else, and that's not going to prove. You know, I was reading the other day, it's kind of interesting that right at the end, Matthew 28, it actually says that this is after Jesus did all these miracles and walked the earth and did these incredible things, and he's actually rising up on a cloud and everything else. And then it says, and some still doubted. You kidding me? Just seen Jesus go up on a cloud and you're still like, yeah, well, you know, I've got a cousin who can do that. It's not that impressive. I could bring a dead person here in front of you and raise him from the dead, and some of you still would not believe. Because it's not about evidence that you see, it's about evidence that you are born with that's inside. It's the second chance, third chance, 100th chance. When is it going to be? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. That's big. 3 days' journey, that's 3 days' walking. That's how big the city is. And the word great is also not just about its size, but about its power, about its significance, about what a terrible place this is for Jonah. Because let me tell you guys, and I've told you this lots of times, that when you make this commitment to Christ, things don't get rosy. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to take that which you have set up as being most important, ruin it, and then build himself like this contentment and peace that comes is built in place of that. He will take things that are dear to you, that you are gripped by, that maybe you're addicted to, and you will ruin it. And it hurts. I know it hurts some of you, because some of you come and tell me about it, and through tears you tell me, this is difficult, and this is hard, and why is God letting me do this? And this is part of the ruining. And Jonah, when he followed through the instructions of God, this was the hardest thing that God could ask him to do. Jonah began, verse 4, to go into the city, going a day's journey. So he's a third of the way through the city before he opens his mouth. And then he says, can just imagine the scene. He's like, man, I can't believe, you know, these people are going to kill me. They're going to lynch me. And then it says, he called out. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He calls it out. It's actually five words in the Hebrew. Five words. He shouts out, 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. That word overthrown in the Hebrew is actually, it has two meanings. Overthrown as in violently overthrown, but it also can mean changed and turned around. He said 40 days. 40 days. That's all he's got. He's got five words. That's all he's got. And you might look at your life and you might go, I've got nothing. I don't have the grades, I don't have the ability, I don't have the family, I don't have the education, and you might be looking at it and you're going, I've got nothing. All that God wants you to do is get up and go. He'll give you everything else. See, this is why when Brian Welch was saying contentment and purpose comes, it comes when you get up and you move. You follow through with the instructions. You surrender your life to God. Then it says, the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, and the greatest of them to the least of them. All he had was five words. And there's this change in the city. We are all born with this desire to be significant. Not one of you desires to just be mediocre and average in life. You know, what's your dream and goal? I'm just going to sit around on the couch and watch TV all day for the rest of my life. None of you desire that. Some of you are there, but none of you actually desire that. You're all born with this desire to do something bigger and greater than yourself. This is why we look at people like Brian Welch and people who are stars and the famous and everything, because we see something in them that we admire, because we actually realize that they're significant and maybe we're not. But then you look at yourself and I've got nothing. I've got nothing to offer God. Five words. That's all Jonah had. By himself. Five words. But the interesting thing is that the people in Nineveh didn't believe Jonah. It actually says they believed God. What gifts and talents and things that you have that maybe you haven't even discovered yet, that when you stand up and say yes, that suddenly you'll discover that God will use you regardless of what you think about yourself? Because some of you look at yourself and you know it. Look, some of you look at yourself and you don't see anything worth anything at all. Whereas God looks at you and he says, if they would just get up and follow my command, if they would just stand up and do something that no one else is willing to do, if they would just follow through, I'm giving them these chances, I'm giving them the chances, I'm after them. If they would just say, yes, I'll do it, then the impact that you could have in your culture, the change that you could bring. I know of so many people who have taken what God has given them, they've surrendered their life to God, and then their next question is, God, what do you want me to do with this? And then there seems to be two groups. There's those Christians who sit and wait for God to do something, and then there's those Christians who don't sit and wait. They look at the Bible and say, no, God says I should go and do. And they pick themselves up and they go and do something significant. And then the other group look at them and go, why doesn't God let me do that? The difference is because they didn't sit and wait, they actually moved. This group sit and wait, and they wait and wait and wait. I'm going to show you another video, very different from the last one. But this young man, very talented, very gifted. You'll see what his talent and gifting is in a second. But what I love is his heart, and what suddenly switches inside of him. He's like, okay, God, you use me, use me. We good to go? So, it's pretty cool. He got his second chance of life, broke his neck, got his second chance. Guys, I'm pleading with you. What chance are you on? And how many chances is it going to take? And some of you are looking at it going, wow, I'm not as gifted as that, or I'm not as good as that. I mean, you've seen me on a skateboard. I mean, it's embarrassing, and it's just ridiculous. And it's not about what you're doing. It's about your heart. And I wonder if any of you have actually prayed and said, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? Because the thing about Jonah was, is he went into the city by himself. He didn't take this group of people around, okay, look, guys, I've got this cool idea. We're going to go to Nineveh where they skin you alive and put you out in the sun, and we're going to tell them that they're all going to get destroyed. Who's with me? Yeah, right. That was not going to happen. He went by himself. So how many of you are sat there thinking, yeah, but I can't do this. This is impossible. I can't live the way that God is asking me to live. What will they say? What will they do? Well, how will they respond? I might be left with no friends, and I might be left with no boyfriend. I might be left with no girlfriend. What about all this stuff? And you're going, me, 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 me. And maybe just standing up, surrendering your life to God, and walking into that great city, which is ridiculously huge and scary to you, and start calling out and doing that which God has called you to do, maybe on a daily basis in the halls, suddenly you'll find that what surrounds you is an incredible work of God, and you're doing exactly what you're called to do every day. I wonder how many of us wake up in the morning, okay, God, what is it you want me to do today? I had a phone call from a friend of mine yesterday from Britain. He's not a rich guy. He's not a wealthy guy. He's given his whole life basically to ministry. He's come up with this idea, this significant idea that he wanted to share with me. And this is in Britain. And what he's doing is he's set up this business that buys dentist offices. With dentists and all the people coming in to get all their dental work done. And the idea is he sees these places as being great mission centers in communities that while people are strapped in the chair with their mouth open, they can't really go anywhere. So the dentist, you know, who's a Christian, we'll chat with them, get to know them. But then the amazing thing is we know that dentists can make some serious coinage, all right? They you know, they're not necessarily poor people. So the money that comes into the dentist and the profit, then the 100% of the profit goes to missions. He's already raised £1.4 million, which is nearly $3 million, from just an idea. And he's bought one dentist office already, and it's going great. His aim is to buy five. See, I'm thinking that's a genius idea that started with just him. What significant ideas inside of you that God has maybe been talking to you about for ages that you need to get with him and pull it apart? Maybe you're passionate about justice. Maybe you want to see the homeless in Kelowna being served. Maybe you want to do something with single teenage mums. What? Maybe it's an abortion thing. Maybe it's something, a people group in another part of the world. What is it going to take until you stand up and say, yes, I'm going to do something? Not, I can't do anything because I haven't got enough people. You alone, stand up like Jonah and walk into that great city, and maybe God will bless it. Because right at the end of the chapter, the king in Nineveh says, maybe God will forgive us. Maybe God will bless your idea. And it's not about friends and getting groups of people. It's you. It's you. Yeah, but I've got nothing. Five words, that's all Jonah had. Worst sermon in the Bible. That's all he had. What have you got? You got way more than that. Some of you have got more gifting in your little finger than I could ever dream about. And you're sitting on it. You're sitting on it. Some of you are beautiful musicians. Some of you are just beautiful. I don't know, maybe that's your gifting. I was looking at Nathan there. Some of you have got athletic ability. Some of you look at math and it's just easy. And some of you are just find academic stuff easy. Some of you just can't drive past the guy on KLO and Gordon without it bringing tears to your eyes, thinking about him in minus 20 temperatures in the winter. Some of you don't care. Some of you maybe don't notice because maybe God's not put that in you. But some of you have got this incredible thing sat in it. And that's just the problem. You just sat there. When, guys? When? When are we going to do this? Yeah, but Glenn, you need to. No. When are you going to do it? I will do everything I can in my power to support you. But the ultimate thing is when are you going to stand up and say, yes, I'll go, and I'll go now with my five words, because that's all it takes. Second chances, third chances, 100 chances, 200 chances. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross so that you do not have to die. And some of your lives are spiraling down and you know who you are. When? When is it going to be changing? Definition of insanity, one of them. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Why would your life be any different in a year's time unless you listen to God now? I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask the guys to come up, and we're going to sing a song, and we're just going to respond in worship. But guys, I'm excited about what we have in this school. I visit lots of schools, and I sense God doing something in a group of you and a number of you, and I'm just excited to see when you stand up and go, yes, God, I can do this, because you can. In Jesus, all things are possible. Wouldn't it be great if we became known as a school of innovative, ridiculous ideas that make an impact in our community because of our students saying, yes, God, I'll do it. I'll go. That'd be cool. We wouldn't have to rely on missions and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that because our mission would be here every day. That'd be awesome. And I know that it's in you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the story of Jonah. Lord, I thank you this guy was just such an example to us. And I see myself in him. I see myself running from you. I see myself struggling. I see myself flailing around in the water, trying to control life myself. And Lord, I just think of all the chances that you have given me. God, I'm just thankful that the time I said yes, God, and I stood up, you changed my life. You forgave my sin. And the adventure began. The ruin began. Lord, I pray for those students in the room right now who are going through that divine ruining, that they've surrendered their life to you and it is hard. Father, I pray you would comfort them and come alongside them. Lord, I pray for those students who don't know you, who are running. God, let today be the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray that as a group and as a high school, that Lord, we would stop sitting around on our hands waiting for you to do something. God, I pray you would speak to them about what they can do with their five words. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just give you the next few minutes over to you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us really clearly as we worship you. Thank you, Father.